Glad to be here. I'm just so happy to be part of your worship today, and I hope that I'll be able to bring a lesson that can encourage you. And I'd like to thank Brother Ellis for giving me the opportunity. I was communicating to Brother Harold, and he was very prompt in making answers immediately, and I really appreciate that. And I said, he offered me to come and preach one Sunday. And that was just so wonderful to be able to, given the invitation to come. And I'm a Filipino from the Philippines. Probably you have heard about a country, but have never been there. It is a country that is so warm. You know, I'd say warm. About 24 degrees sometimes, that's already good, you know, and then it gets warmer to 32 degrees all year round. There are only two kinds of weather there. It's only sunny and rainy. But some people say this country has two kinds of weather. They say it's hot and very hot. So I like Canada. And it's so wonderful to be here. It is a beautiful country. You have beautiful parks, beautiful, in some way, government, where people are protected. Government attends to you, gives you privileges, and it's just so beautiful. Except for the snow. Except for the cold. And I've waited all this day, because I was already called to go to Manitoulin to preach there. And I said, no, I have to be in Oma. I have to stand with my promise with Brother Ellis that I have to be here, Brother Harold. And so I asked that I will be here and leave on the tomorrow. So they said, okay, it will be okay. So I'm just so glad to be able to be here, and I'll be back on the end of the month of June to be able to join the brethren in the retreat, but leave late afternoon to be able to catch up with the worship right there in Manitoulin Island in Gore Bay. That's about 6 hours drive, and it's a wonderful thing to be here. Anyway, let me share to you a little bit of the experiences that I have again, or experiences of my father, or my uncle. As I've said, my dad and my uncles are all preachers. They came to the United States to study to become preachers. In the early 60s, there was some kind of discrimination, racial, so strong. So he just came from the Philippines, and he was going to the laundry. And when he saw in the laundry room, they're saying, for whites only. And then the other side is for coloreds only. So he was carrying all his clothes, you know, and he said, okay. And he went to the white and put all his white clothes around there and brought all the colored clothes in the other side. And somebody saw him and, what are you doing? You know, it says for coloreds only, so I'm bringing all my colored clothes here. And for whites only, I brought all my white clothes down here. You know, we don't have that. We don't have discrimination. We don't have racing thing, whatever, you know. That was new until in the 80s, in 1987 or 88, I was in the United States, and I don't know, the man that I delivered a couch, you know, in his home, just banged the door so hard, and it made me jump. So I look at him, and he just look at me, and oh well, I don't know. Whatever is in his mind, he might be prejudiced to me, or maybe one of his family has died in the war in Vietnam. He probably thought I was a Vietnamese. So I don't care. I'm just here to deliver the couch, put it all together, and leave. That's all that I have to do. But that's something in the past. But I hear people, brethren, it's just so wonderful to see children. The Bible says, except you be like these little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have to be like these little children. I attend worship, and we sing the song, Jesus loves the little children. You probably sing that song here too when the kids are having their time, kids' time. That's just wonderful. Let us always remember the Bible tells us about being like little children. That's the idea. It's good that you develop the children. I'm impressed hearing a young man pray for the Lord's Supper. And where is that young man now? Yeah, Sam. Very good. That's very, very good. Develop that. Make him a preacher. You know, I encourage young men to be preachers. Even if they go with their profession, but they preach, they're able to share the gospel. I was encouraging my nephew here to be a preacher too, and hopefully one day he can also be a preacher to be able to share the word of God. Now, the world that we're living in is so full of different kinds of teaching just to fit man, to fit our interest. And here, according to the world, they said the truth is relative. When we say the truth is relative, there's no absolute truth. Whatever you believe is true, that's what you believe. Whatever people believe, even if it doesn't go with what it is, that's what he believes. Because they say absolute, you know, absolute truth. It's relative. We are living in a world saturated with spiritual confusion. Okay? We're living in a world that is steeped in unholy, unbiblical traditions. Throughout history, men had fought the scriptures to their own desires and preconception. How many years that people have done that? If you have heard an atheist speak about God, he said, there's no God. Have you heard about that? There's no God. Unless if I see, I believe. Well, that's something that they say. They keep on saying, and that becomes very popular. If I see it, I believe. Since I didn't see God, then there's no God. One little lady asked the professor who said that there's no God because he didn't see God. The little lady asked the professor, "Professor, have you seen your mind?" The professor said, "How can I see my mind? No, I haven't seen my mind." That means you don't have mind, professor. You know, he doesn't believe because he doesn't see. That's what he's trying to say here. And here we believe in God. Even if we haven't seen God, we believe in God. Have you seen air? Do you believe air is existing? You breathe air? Have you seen air? No, but I believe there's air. I believe God created the world. If there's a design, that demands what? The designer or the maker of that design. Here we see the Bible mentions something about the world. God doesn't like the world. Though he loves the world, he wants the world to believe him. He wants the world to obey him. And the Bible tells us also and warns us about the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Apostle Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Remember this, brethren. We had a Bible study yesterday in Cambridge, and as well as it's a celebration of my brother's birthday yesterday, and we talk about Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And here, the world has this kind of concept. The world has thought differently. The world has already adopted something that is already contrary to what the scripture is saying. Let's say, for example, homosexuality. The world has adopted already homosexuality. It's okay. You speak against that, you're going to be in trouble. That's something that we see here. But the world has adopted that. But what did the Bible say in verse 2 in Romans chapter 12? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In the scripture reading that was read to us a while ago in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21-23, that's a very clear words that has been said by our Lord. That could happen this time, yesterday, or before. That is happening already. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Notice this. You believe in the Lord. Everybody believes in the Lord. Everybody profess the Lord and confess the Lord. But not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall go to heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father, of the Father who is in heaven. Verse 22. I tell you, if you have the ability to prophesy, the ability to cast out devils, the ability to do many wonderful works, man, this church building is so small. Can you imagine that? If somebody can just make prophecy, can do so many wonderful works, this church building is so small, this will probably grow immediately. But it doesn't matter. What matters if he does the will of the Father? Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Verse 23 is the answer of our Lord. And they alone, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that do it iniquity. The idea that I'm trying to present today, brethren, is let us go back to the will of the Father. Let us go back to God's word. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That is a way that leads us, that shines, that gives light, so that we can see and we will never fall. The word is the truth, our guide, and our only way to follow. So therefore, let us go back to the word of God. The scripture says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John chapter 8, verse 32. We all know, always coming from the word, John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by him. But sometimes we still ignore our Lord. But remember the voice of the Father which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 6. All these verses that we can give to you, brethren, is about the word, is about the truth. The scripture is only one. The word is only one. And yet there are so many religions, so many teachings. But if all these people study the word of God and go back to the word, it's going to mean a lot of difference. It's going to make a lot of difference. And that's the reason why I'd like to encourage you, brethren, to keep studying your Bible. Come to the Bible study. We had a good Bible study today. And for all the brethren who have missed the Bible study, next time, I'd like to encourage you, come. How can you grow? How can you be strong in your faith? How can you be strong that you are a Christian and say, look, I believe this is what the Bible say. If you do not know, you do not study, you have to come. Because the Bible tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've met some people who believe in, who do not believe in Trinity. They said, well, David, if you show me a passage coming from the Bible about Trinity, then I'll believe in the Trinity. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't show you a passage, the word Trinity, word for word coming from the Bible. But I can show you the word that says there are three that bear records in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. I can show you the Father is not the Son, neither the Son is the Father. When Jesus was baptized, a voice from heaven, a loud voice, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." And what you're trying to say, if the Father is the Son, what is he trying to do? Have you seen some people playing puppet? You know, and their mouth doesn't even move. You know, some kind of voice come out from here, and then he say, he's the Father, and he's the Son? That's impossible. What kind of doctrine is that? What kind of teaching is that? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, what happened to him? He prayed. He prayed to God, the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And he's the Father? That's wrong. He's not the Father. The oneness concept teaches us that the Father came to this world. Of course, the heaven was already empty because he came to this world and called himself Jesus. All right? When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he died. He ascended to heaven and then came back to this world and called himself the Holy Spirit. It's some kind of strange teaching, but it is not true. This is not consistent with the scripture, and yet many people believe. Why? Because they do not know the scripture. We have to study the Word of God. Studying the Word of God, brethren, is so important. I know party sometimes is good, but a lot of people would even compromise studying the Word of God because they've got to be in the party. You have to study the Word of God. You have to go back, be grounded with the faith, and let us enjoy the teaching that will make us stronger in our faith. Whatever the world says, let us go back to Jesus. Jesus' word is God's will. He is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God. I was asked last few Sundays ago about Jesus, and I answered some questions, and there are more deeper questions that was asked. And I said, "Whoa, wait a minute. I need to go back and study about that." So how could you learn that? We can only learn that through Bible study. We find here in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 that Jesus, if you see Jesus, you see the Father. He's not the Father, but you see the Father in him, because he is the exact representation of God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. He is the image of the invisible God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. So we study, we look at it, we know what it is, who Jesus is. And that's the reason why last Sunday I taught in Mississauga about Jesus, about Messiah, about Emmanuel, and about God the Father, and about Trinity, so that brethren will know what they believe in and what the Bible say about that. The best decision we can make is that we take God's word and not taking another's word. We only take God's word with us. If you turn your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 to 6. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 to 6. There's a man in the Bible. His name is Enoch. He was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him, for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Brethren, if we do not come and study the Word of God, we are not diligently seeking him. We have to study. Why? Because we diligently seek our Lord. The same passage has also been said about Enoch. Notice the consistency of the book of Hebrews and the book of Genesis in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 to 24, it is a passage in the Old Testament that talk on the same person. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons. and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So what pleases God, brethren? Enoch pleased God because he walked with God. All right? When we walk with God, the word walk comes from the Greek word peripateo. Peripateo means I conduct my life. When you conduct your life with God, brethren, it's not running. We see here, Enoch walked with God. It's not running. It's not hopping. It's not jumping. It's not leaping. But why walk? What is in this walk? If you look at the word walk, brethren, there's this consistency. Okay? There's this consistency when you walk, the continuity when you walk. Step by step, you follow our Lord. We Christians should do that. Yeah, we probably run, but after running a mile, maybe you start sitting down, and then, no, I can't run anymore, right? Well, maybe, yeah, you can jump, but after a few meters of jumping, you will never jump anymore because I cannot jump anymore. I'm so tired. But walking. And I was a little bit intrigued with the word walk. What is in this word walk? Why walk with God? Because when we walk with God, brethren, part of our decision is with God. Part of our relationship is with God. Our relationship with our fellow Christians in the world is still with God. Part of our schedule, there's still God in it. God is part of our schedule. God is part of our life. God is aligned with our lives. You notice that I've used the word, he's part of our relationship with the world. I've quoted this passage coming from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and verse 16 about the salt and the light. That's how it is. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put a candle on a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why are we doing this? Because God, the God that we're worshiping, is Spirit. For John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And don't forget the next word, and in truth. Whatever you believe, that's what you believe, but is that the truth? Is that what the Bible say? Is that what we see coming from the Bible? The only thing that we will be able to know the truth is we have to study, we have to go with what the Bible say. Now, going to the next question is, whom would you choose to walk with? Whom would you choose to walk with? Would you walk with someone you do not like? Of course not. You probably have so many reasons to say, I don't want to walk with him because I don't like him. Okay? We don't want to walk with a person with so many reasons because we cannot walk with someone whom we do not like. We cannot walk with someone who are in contrary to our desires, who are in contrary to our dreams and aspirations and our goals. Would you like to walk with the devil? No. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I would not allow to walk with the devil. I would not allow to walk with the world. I want to go back to what the Bible tells me to do so that I'll be able to attain my goal. I know your goal here, brethren, is to be in heaven. The Bible says, what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It is the most important thing to put in our minds that we're heading to heaven. We're geared toward heaven. A man was dying in the Philippines, and they were communicating to me, and this man was a very good member of the church. He's one of the persons that I first baptized when I started preaching in the Philippines in 1989. and they're very, very close to me, and he's going to pass away. And I just told him that all we can do is pray. The man is a good man. He's a very good example. He's very faithful, and he studied the word, and I know he's ready to go home. Maybe some of your brethren here has already left, and they have already went home. That's a place where we wanted to go. We cannot walk with someone who is not on the same page with us. Put that in our mind. We cannot be with somebody who doesn't have the way we think, who doesn't have the way we believe. And that's the reason why one time I preached about marrying an unbeliever. That's very hard. Do not be equally yoked to unbeliever. So why marry somebody who doesn't even share with you the faith that you can be in heaven, you can go in heaven? Marry somebody who will help you, bring you to go to heaven. Let's go to Amos chapter 3, verse 3. In the book of Amos chapter 3, verse 3, you'll find out, coming from the scripture, the same thing that has been said about walking. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Notice this word. Can two walk together unless they're agreed? You know? Here we see that there must be consistency. We can't walk with somebody who doesn't believe in God. We can't walk with somebody who will not help us to go to heaven. Let us walk with somebody who will share with us the faith so that we can be stronger in our faith. The reason, one of the reasons why many of the members have left the church, they have married somebody who do not believe in God. They fall away, they get cold, they become spiritually weak, and they become spiritually sick. And that's one of the problems. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Another brethren here that we see is that let us not fall into the devil's trap. Several years, centuries ago, it started even during the time of the creation. And Satan has not spared man. You think Satan will spare you? No. Satan has not spared man. When God had the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, God told them not to eat the fruit that is in there, in the midst of the garden. Don't touch that. No, don't eat that. But Satan said, why? Why can't you not touch it? Because I will die if I eat that. Certainly you will not die, according to Satan. Oh, you will die. No, you're not going to die. You will become even knowledgeable, like God. That's how Satan did. He contradicted everything that God told man not to do. And man fell down into the trap. The truth has always been the real issue, why there are divisions, why there are problems, why there are confusion, distortion, distraction, innovation. And the devil distorted the truth. That is the reason why there are many religions, yet supposedly there is only one source of the truth, which is the scripture. So the only solution that I'd like to share to you today, brethren, is go back to the word. What did the Bible say? If you say that, what did the Bible say? If you know your scripture, it's just so beautiful, because you can even contradict a teaching because they're not telling the truth. This is what the Bible say. So when we walk with God, we heartily walk with the word. We walk with God. Remember this. When the judgment comes, brethren, we will be judged by the word. Okay? That's the reason why we have to know what is written here. Because we will be judged by the word. We have no escape and say, Lord, I didn't know. Because you have this. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 47 to 48. And let us see where are we going to be judged and what kind of basis are we going to be judged. In John chapter 12, verse 47 to 48, these are the words of our Lord. And if any man hear my words and believe not. I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So this is the basis. If we do not live according to this, we will be judged according to the word. It's very easy in some way if we just subject ourselves to the teachings of God. If we just remember the words, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Hear ye him. That's how we are going to live, brethren, as a Christian. This is part of our conclusion today. I've been reading a book written by Michael J. Schenck. And we are living, according to him, in a world saturated with spiritual confusion. Okay? Michael J. Schenck, in his book, Muscle and Shovel, he said that it is a world steeped in unholy, unbiblical traditions. Throughout history, men had fought the scriptures to their own particular desires and preconceptions. And Apostle Paul said the result would be their own destruction. Brethren, if our goal is to be saved, Apostle Paul said, work out for your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Our goal is to please God. Walk with God in such a way that we conduct our lives according to the word of Jesus. Our goal is to be in heaven with God. Wouldn't it be wonderful that one day when we die and we will be hearing our Lord, come ye, O blessed, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I read the scripture in John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. It's so comforting. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye will be also. That's the most important thing. That's more important than a Camaro. That's more important than a sports car. That's more important than a beautiful house. I wanted to be in heaven. Would you not also think that way? Men, believe on what Jesus said. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We have to be in heaven. We've got to work hard to be in heaven. Let us encourage those to be them too, so that they too can be in heaven. Let us work out, hold hands, that we all can be in heaven. It is just so wonderful that we can be with God. Not for one day, not for one week, not for one month. We can be with God forever in heaven. If you've been thinking about being a Christian and you haven't accepted yet our Lord, let me encourage you. Don't wait. Don't wait and let our Lord wait. Our Lord has always been calling you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The door has always been knocking, and it is our Lord asking you to come to him. If you have lived a life that is not in accordance to his will, come back to him. Serve him. Walk with our God. This is our message this morning.